The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, and he is also serves as the chairman of the board for the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Great day. Great day to be here. It's not snowing.
No, that's true. Hey, it's actually spring in Washington, finally, I think.
I was talking to someone this morning, and he said Boston is going to be colder today or tomorrow than any place in the 50 United States.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I'd rather be in Washington today, right?
Would you really?
Although Boston is my second favorite place. Okay.
So that's our weather forecast of the show, right?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the forecast for the GSA Schedules Program, perhaps today. Huh? Pretty good there.
I like that. Good transition.
Okay. So, but first, I know one thing that's been focus of many GSA schedule contractors and GSA contractors in general, because it's their proposed rule that would go across the ITG WACs and other GSA contracts as well as the GSA schedules, and that's the transactional data reporting proposed rule that GSA issued a couple months ago. And then on April 17th, there was a public meeting. The comments were actually submitted on May 4th. And Coalition did submit comments in response to that. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I know you've read the rule, you've looked at it, and you attended the public meeting. And for the sake of full disclosure, I actually made a presentation at the public meeting as well. And so first, just your impressions of the rule and GSA's stated goals around the rule as well.
Well, first, start out, give GSA its credit for having a public forum. I think there was like 300 or 400 people online, apparently, is what they indicated. So I think that shows you there was an interest in the rule. And I think the kind of a takeaway in the short term is that I think the overall objective of the rule is clear, and I think you can get an overall agreement probably by all parties of the objective. I think the devil's in the details, and I think in that area, I think during the course of that full day, Roger, no one agreed with how the rule was being proposed except GSA. And that includes the Veterans Administration,
IG,
right, as well as GSA's IG. Hopefully GSA is taking serious its position that they're having this meeting to let people to be heard, and therefore take the. A lot of information was shared, and I think very detailed information. And to your earlier point, given them written response and comments on the rule. So hopefully they'll actually do that, and we actually see some changes to what's being proposed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you. Just, I have to give GSA credit for, having the public meeting and the public dialogue and the fact that you can talk about actually have a public meeting where you're talking about the merits of, to a certain extent, part of the rule is what's the merits of the price reduction clause versus not. And you can have parties who, may not agree on the merits of that clause or the merits of the proposed rule come together and at least share information and thoughts and feedback. It was interesting. GSA had in the preamble talked about, analysis, which I don't think the IG agrees with, but from their analysis, 3% of price reductions actually resulted from, I guess, operation of the price reduction clause. think GSAIG has a different view of that, probably the VAIG as well. But it was interesting to have a conversation around that. I'd say, you know, I don't know, you know, if the particular approach actually meets all of GSA's needs, actually, or all its objectives in terms of better pricing or, you know, analysis of pricing on the program. But that's yet to be seen. Do you have any other thoughts in particular about, you know, particularly the burden that GSA identified with regard to the rule?
Yeah, I think the burden side is, I think it was evident from the public, you know, hearing, and if you want to call it a hearing, I guess, or public event they had on the ruling. But, you know, to say that it's going to take systems changes, it's going to take industry, was it 6 hours, I guess?
Yes.
When I first got my iPhone, it took me longer than 6 hours. I'm still figuring out my iPhone. So, I mean, that's just...
You and me both, Bill.
And that's supposed to be intuitive.
Right.
And so, anyway, all due respect to all the iPhones. But anyway, it's, you know, there's no way that GSA's put that number out there. And I think that was part of it to, you know, it's really not going to be a burden on industry. And that I think it was clearly stated throughout the event on April 17th that it is far beyond that. And I think Roger, you know, you had put out a survey and provided the comments from members to GSA and what the burden from their viewpoint is. And I don't have the numbers in front of me or in my head right now, but I think it far exceeded 6 hours.
Right. Well, I mean, as I mentioned, a public meeting, it's, you know, based on a survey, the costs associated with implementing the rule were 28 times larger than GSA's estimate. You know, we're talking, you know, for large businesses, you know, over 1,000 hours on average, for small businesses, over 200 just to implement, and, you know, far more than 31 minutes a month. That was, GSA indicated would be 31 minutes a month to administer the reporting requirement, and none of the respondents to our survey agreed with that number. But it's interesting, you know, and I was thinking about the meeting, and I don't know if it's a lesson learned for the procurement community, for GSA, for us as well, is that, you know, in the context of this, the dialogue is vitally important, and the fact that GSA had the public meeting is a good thing. I think it would have served GSA better if they had had discussions to the extent they can. I don't know why they couldn't. Discussions like, we're thinking about doing this. What would this mean for you before issuing a rule and doing some background research and surveying companies about it, so that you wouldn't get, you know, this number out there that, you know, 6 hours versus 1,000 hours just doesn't, that just creates a gulf that shouldn't be there. And I think it would help everybody potentially. Maybe it's a lesson learned for all of us that have that kind of conversation as, you know, as much as you can when you're trying to figure out what the requirement will be. That's what Mythbusters is all about.
Yeah, I think GSA, you know, while they indicated this is the first time we've had a public, you know, event like this, on a proposed rule. So hopefully it's a lesson learned. Okay, let's leave it that way.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think everybody that presented and asked questions during the day made a clear point that the full day of people coming in and asking questions, hopefully adds a lot of value, because at the end of the day, you know, when you can't, you know, it's not going to take, you know, when some people may view, well, why does it take large businesses, you know, more hours in small businesses, and I've heard people in the government say that small businesses can do it quicker. I think what we forget is, you know, one element that's left out when we put a time factor on anything, whether it's large business or small, is the burden. And I think burden can become heavier on small, although their hours could be fewer.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, and their margins are
exactly
are narrower. And so, they don't have the resources.
Right. So you just can't. You can't look at this in one sliver of this ingredient of what the total impact is, and talk about, well, small businesses can do it faster than large businesses. It's not that. It's the burden that's going to be on small businesses, which could be pretty significant, and also the ramifications from a compliance standpoint. If you don't if you don't present this information in a timely manner or fully accurate. And it just opens up so many other compliance risks, for lack of a better way of saying it, to all GSA contractors.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And I'm you know, out of the public meeting, I thought it was interesting. It was the comments from folks were thought provoking, and I have to say, you know, the VAIG actually, though we may not agree, and I know philosophically I don't agree with their views on price reduction clause and its role in utility, but at the same time, there was a very thoughtful discussion about pricing that took place that was very interesting and was worth hearing. That was a very, you know, it was a good part of the meeting.
It was thoughtful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody added value. I think the key is going to be, is GSA going to just move forward without changes? That's going to be
right. I think there's an opportunity for continuing a dialogue mm-hmm. about it before and see if there's a way to further address the goals across the programs involved. But Bill, we're already up to our first break. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll talk a little bit about GSA schedules, a little bit about the Coalition Spring Conference and what transpired there as well. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Agencies today understand they are under a constant cyber threat. They also understand that in order to build continuous diagnostics and mitigation solutions that meet their mission requirements, they need a partner, not just a vendor. At Booz Allen Hamilton, we approach CDM by rolling up our sleeves and partnering with our clients to develop long-term solutions based on our cybersecurity experience and tradecraft. Our cyber experts and technologists work with agencies to tailor blueprints that meet their needs so that they can turn insight into action and stay in command and control of their IT enterprise. We build solutions that dynamically defend our clients' most critical assets, keeping them ahead of threats. Today, data and technology are critical to meet the business needs at any agency. And at Booz Allen Hamilton, we're here to help our clients be truly cyber ready. Learn more about our CDM services and solutions at boozallen.com/CDM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group, and he also serves as the chairman for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, when he took the break, I mentioned the Coalition Spring Conference, which you did attend, and you know, along with a lot of other folks across industry and government. And, you know, it was held on April 28th. I want to just get your impressions of the conference, what you learned. And we heard from acting GSA Administrator Denise Turner-Roth and from Kevin Ewell Page, the FAA Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service, amongst others. I thought it was a very interesting day.
Well, to your point, well attended to the Coalition's credit on the topics obviously were of interest to the members and also from a GSA's had a lot of participation there. So I think we're starting to see some thawing of the ability of government to get out and do some market research on their programs by interacting with you know, I always call it the third leg of the stool. You know, you got GSA, you got the customer base, and you have industry. So, you know, the Coalition is the industry base, which is in particular for the schedules program predominantly, but also for the GWAC. So, I mean, there was a lot of exchange there. So I think a couple things, Roger, in regards to heard for the first time in way too long where a GSA administrator can actually talk about the demonstrated value that they see the demonstrated value that the schedules is bringing the federal government, you know.
Administrator Roth did a great job, I thought.
Yeah, and so she gets out there and talks about that. Yeah, and then they can't. At some point, we still fall into this price discussion, but value and recognizing the need to grow the program. Speed, efficiency, and all that was brought out through their survey from the customer base. And And when the customer talks about that they still want some reassurance of a fair and reasonable price, that you can never do enough to have anybody. It's human nature in all of us to talk about price, and I think a lot of people get excited about pricing, maybe somewhat get defensive about it, and I don't think there's any reason to. It's just a matter of the tools are built into the program, as you and I know, without getting into the weeds here, but the tools are in the program to get a better deal. It's a ceiling price, and I think some of the steps that are being taken, I think is somewhat of an overreach or maybe overreaction to that. And I'm not saying some of the steps aren't relevant in regards to defining the value of the program, but in regards to the conference, I think the kind of an overarching takeaway for me is that there's a lot of change being proposed. And for the sake of discussion, let's say that's fine, whether we agree or not.
Right.
And, there's not always, to your earlier point, at least we're having discussions. But there's a lot of change proposed. And as a result of that, there's been a fairly significant lag in training. And training is always a term that, from a budgetary standpoint, gets cut quick. It's like subscriptions or something like that. But I can tell you right now, training is becoming very evident. Or I should say lack of training, very evident. I kind of look at leaders. I kind of break this down in three ways. It's, first off, we're talking about change. And I think leadership provides a vision. And I think there's kind of a clear vision of what's out there. And then it drops to management. And they do the implementation and should set up the training. And then you got the operation level, which does the execution. And I think there's a significant lag between the leadership side and operations. And that's not a criticism. It's just there's a lot of confusion at the operational level. And when you have that, people are going to fill it up with their own opinions, or this is the way I'm going to do it. And from an industry standpoint, you're getting multiple ways of presenting information to a contracting officer in this case that I think there should be more continuity to it. And I think that's where training comes in. But that's internal. You got external.
Just on that line, do you think the reorganization and category management that they're using lends itself to a framework that would be able to better deliver, training that, there's sort of training that should be cross-cutting, but there's also potentially, understanding a particular business, industry sector or whatever, that type of training too. Do you think their reorganization will lend itself to a framework that where they can leverage training across the organization?
Well, the reorganization is not fully stood up yet in staff, so I don't know how that's gonna all boils down to people, right? In structure, so I think they're kind of the Anne Rung has indicated this in earlier time she's been out talking about category management and getting hires and really trying to figure out what these people are going to do and who they're going to report to. So that's all. And that's kind of my point. We know this thought change is out there, for a better way of putting it right now.
Right.
And there are steps being taken to hire some managers for category management. And this is just going to take, it's not instant because this is all brand new. They got to set up policy. What is their authority? Do they have authority? How are they going to interface with the government agencies? And there's a lot of territorial, fences they got to be in,
And I think Ann's also said, this is, the category managers, it's an additional assignment along with their regular responsibilities, when you're talking government-wide,
So half of, if it's a partial assignment, then it becomes a partial commitment. And I know that's not what they are looking for.
That's not what they're looking for.
So you got this balance. Are we in, we out? And, but on getting back to your training, you got the external side of the customer training and management within the customer base of GSA. And where I'm heading, I think, in this conversation from a viewpoint is I think GSA, while I know it was discussed somewhat at the spring conference, but I think the value of the GSA Expo, people could, for a while, were saying, hey, this is every year, it's too much. we can still have that discussion, but I think there's a significant, it's becoming very evident, a significant void in government by not having it. And in the training area, there was thousands of hours
of training. I used to do training sessions at the GSA Expo, both when I was at GSA and when I left GSA, I came back and trained. And there were thousands and thousands of hours on all kinds of different subjects, from sustainability, procurement programs, to how to place orders off the schedules, to, they started incorporating the IT GWACs and training on those, and, even the telecom stuff. It was, real property. I mean, just they covered the gamut of training and literally thousands of hours of training one week.
Yeah, I think we forget that. Or we just don't think through it entirely. But this training is also, it's not just for people who have historically done something as a customer in one way or one style, and that's going to change, or there's going to be new alternatives for them to be offered in some of the e-environment. But it's also new employees in government. So, there's change is always converting. So this expo was a way of filling a fairly significant void or opportunity for training throughout government. And I think that's kind of what, and I know the administrator, and I heard that, one of the members indicated that, and it's also indicated a couple of times, and GSA's sales are down in the schedules program, and that could be from lack of training too, since the expo has stopped, and I think it was in 2012.
Right.
So, yeah. I think you have some evidence now that GSA could use to support a justification of handling it. And at the end of the day, the expo was abuse of cost in the event, the GSA event.
Yeah, the Western Management Conference, whatever that thing was.
This is totally, I know everything gets pushed in at one time, and we have a tendency to overreact just in life sometimes when you have an event that occurs that's not favorable. But I think now, there can be a business case made that, GSA is not, is not incurring the cost other than travel. And I think that getting to their customer base and bringing a customer base to them as well as industry is basically part of their core mission.
Right. Well, Bill, we have to take our next break. When we come back, I have another training question for you, and I'll hold that one. It is about customer training. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
CACI delivers innovative information solutions and services to serve America's highest priorities, advancing efficiency and performance with business systems, countering the effects of complex threats with integrated security solutions, providing healthcare solutions for better, more affordable care, defending the nation against cyber threats, and helping veterans with its award-winning career-building program. CACI. Information deployed, solutions advanced. Missions accomplished. CACI, ever vigilant.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, I had a training question for you as a follow-up training on particularly GSA schedules. And one of the things that we heard at the conference, the spring conference, April 28th, was the fact that based on surveys GSA had done, I don't know what the number was, but whether it was half or whatever, about half of people don't ask for price reductions at the time they're, placing orders or competing orders, I guess, or whatever, under the GSA schedules program. What's your reaction to that? I think that's a training issue more than anything else, an understanding issue. I want to get your thoughts on that.
The quick answer would be training. More training and specific training regarding, and I think a lot of this was probably off GSA Advantage, and I know GSA's we need to refresh all of our tools, e-tools and so forth, and to be you know, some of the popular commerce sites out there, you know, Amazon, eBay. But if you take those, they have buy now price and they have, you know, offer or bid price. So, I mean, so people are used to it. And so maybe to an earlier point that we had in just the previous session, Rogers, you know, you got a lot of new people in government. So some people may just think that's the price. So it's not as though a better price is not available. It is available. So maybe GSA, you know, needs to say that, not that we give them all this data, they should ask for a price. I mean, they're just focused on market. Market the program. That's
right.
Part of the, that's a commercial practice, and GSA is serves that role within government. So
Well, it's interesting on that. You know, I have a couple thoughts on training myself, but just on marketing the program or the, getting the word out, whether it's training or just how it works and that sort of thing. The Office of Customer Accounts and Research, CAR, right? That's the organization within the Federal Acquisition Service that, you know, is responsible for that area largely. And I think one of the good things we heard at the conference is they've been re-energized. They're going to play a greater role in outreach to customer agencies. I don't know what you thought of that or not. Or that's one of the messages that came out of the conference.
Yeah, that was very enlightening. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see where that goes, so to speak. And I think it's... you know, there was just too much got shut down at one time as far as GSA, I think, standing in front of its programs instead of maybe in the back. And I think getting in front of it demonstrates that in of itself by getting word out, marketing, you know, maybe government, maybe GSA has used a different word besides marketing. Maybe they call it training education, right? So whether, you know, as to, you know, radio or personal or educational, DAU, VA has a VA has its own training. So get to the, you know, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, 1102, 1105 level. And, you know, and people are saying, well, there's a lot of being spent using the credit card. And so how are you going to get those people? You can get to those people. So I think it's something that they need to look at while they're focusing on the operational side. And I think, as it came out clearly in the spring conference, Rogers, industry feels as well, you know, as the public meeting we've talked about earlier, industry just feels like their burden is getting increased to be a schedule holder, and their risk also. And I think, and I know you've talked about it a lot and you've written about it, the price reduction clause, you know, is one element that I think it's, you know, we're hearing maybe there's some acceptance of it, of saying, do we need it? And so I think that is a clear opportunity for GSA to kind of step up, you know, along with some other things that you have ideas or recommendations the coalition members have presented to you and you've put together and presented to GSA, you know, over the past, you know, within the past year. Yeah. Let's leave it that way. And yeah. I think there's an opportunity now to get some of these things done in order to get the other things that GSA is looking to do. And that's pretty much data.
Yeah. So back onto this training issue, it's one of the things that, you know, just to follow up, I mentioned a little earlier in this segment that, you know, according to GSA, there's, and maybe half the folks didn't ask for a price reduction. That is a training issue. But also, it seems to me, it's a cop-out for the critics, and particularly certain organizations have been historically critical of government organizations in the Department of Defense, no less, that have been critical of the GSA Schedules program. And, you know, when, you know, DOD contracting officers are buying now, right, at the list, at the ceiling price or list price or whatever you want to call it. And to me, you know, GSA does a lot of training and a lot of outreach and, you know, and has all the resources available that they make available to customer agencies. To me, it strikes me as like some of the responsibility, you know, you have to look at yourself as an organization, like whether it's, you know, DOD or whoever. And are you getting the message out yourself? Are you emphasizing, you know, that to get value out of the program, you need to follow the ordering procedures, you need to seek price, you need to emphasize competition at the task order levels? I don't get the sense, It's easy enough for them to criticize, you know, another organization, but are they looking at what they're doing themselves and whether or not they're, you know, doing enough to educate their workforce on how to use these contracts? Because it's a great shared services model that can reduce operational cost across government if you use it right and, you know, promote it right and grow the program. It's really, it's, and we've talked many times, it's about saving the government money in the long run.
Yeah, I think, we've all been in different positions. It's easy to cast stones, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think, was it Frank Kendall's? And he's out there, has, was it Better Buy?
Yeah, Better Buying Power 3.0 now.
Three points of 3.0 now. And I think what he's learned in DOD is that, I don't know if it was Better Buy 1.0 or 2.0, where they're talking about, you know, LPTA. And I think they acknowledge, well, that was kind of an overstretch and we didn't mean it. We do want value. We want quality. I think 3.0 starts to, and so, you know, it's like you can, you put the needle to the other way, to extreme. You just get this reaction that's, and, you know, we use the term unintended consequences, maybe too much, but in this case, I think that's it. So here, when we have the, you know, the schedules, you know, the pricing on the schedules is a ceiling price of a negotiated fair and reasonable price. It's not a list price. So there's a value, there's an automatic value of using the program. And that just, that needs to get out there. And you know, the largest selling base of GSA Schedules program is industry, Roger. They're the ones that interface with all of GSA's customers on a daily basis.
Right.
And I think, and they're the ones that are there when there's time of need, whether it's you know, an administrative initiative right away, whether it's a, you know, God forbid, a disaster area, you know, FEMA and everybody runs at a schedules program to get immediate need of products and services to the part of our country that's desperate at the time.
Right, right. Well, Bill, we have to take our next break. When we come back, I'm going to do a little word association with Bill and get his thoughts on some key procurement initiatives across government, go through some buzzwords or just keywords and what they mean to him, what they bring to mind. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Shouldn't a workstation live up to its billing? If yours are no longer working, there's Initiate from the Han Company. Initiate workstations are easy to order, install, and reconfigure. Components fit precisely and provide endless ways for space planners to arrange people. Initiate is also highly sustainable, helping reduce your environmental footprint. Initiate workstations, inspired by the practical needs of the workplace. Online at Han.com. That's HON.com.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, just a little word game. You know, we do this from time to time, acquisition buzzwords, and just get your quick thoughts on a couple things. And some of the things we've already touched on, but there's always new and different insights and under pressure where you have to give a couple thoughts, real quick thoughts. You may come up with something different. So I'm going to start with a couple of items we've at least talked a little bit about today. And the first one, data.
Data does not solve all problems. So I think that's part of it's how you manage it, period.
Okay. Very good. Category management.
It's a step up from strategic sourcing. I think the government's learned that strategic sourcing got to a point where it was so price driven, they drove it down to a point where category management is an opportunity to add value.
Okay. How about the common acquisition platform, you know, the hallway concept for electronic posting of contracts and things like that?
Is that CAP?
CAP. Yes, it is.
That's a new acronym.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, you got many new acronyms.
Cap, I think that's a government's objective of putting everything in front of you on a screen of established sources of supply or where you can go, and apparently to do some kind of comparisons. I think that's a great idea. I think there's going to be a lot more coordination necessary among agencies in order to put their contracts up.
Okay, and how about along those lines, contract agnostic? Thoughts on that? GSA says it's going to be contract agnostic now and pick
what
the best.
What does agnostic mean? University of Maryland.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I think what they mean is that we have our own suite of contracts. We're not, because of who we are, we're not going to essentially drive you to our contracts as a bias sort of thing, but we want to be sort of contract neutral, and we'll identify for customers the best contract to meet their needs. And they're, for example, I'm talking more than I wanted here, Bill, but like ITGWACS, here we got NIH's program, NASA SOUP.
So GSA, while they have they're the gatekeeper, they're not going to favor themselves.
Exactly.
That's what
you did go to Maryland there.
Yeah, graduated too. Yeah. So that's part of, I think it's just there's the trust factor. It's government. I'm here to help you on the government. So this is government on government. And I think there's, to your earlier point on CAP, common acquisition platform, is I know agencies that have not been brought in to the discussion yet. So they're way out, GSA's way out in front of this, and the customer's got to get brought into it. So, I think right now it's just GSA. And so if they're not being, agnostic on this right now. So I think they got to bring the other ones in there, and I think the time will tell.
Okay. How about, here's Mythbusters.
Well, from previous tapings, previous shows, I always have a problem when the government comes out and says it's good to talk to your partner. So, from an industry standpoint. So I think Ann Rung is committed to keeping that out in front of everybody and encouraging contracting folks to talk to industry and to other customers.
Okay. State and local government, state and local purchases.
Yeah. Cooperative purchasing?
Yes.
Right. So I think cooperative purchasing is a significant opportunity, at the state and local level to leverage their resources. And a lot of them are strapped right now financially, and the established sources of supply of the Skittles program gives them a great vehicle to get great deals. And I would just remind them to ask for a price reduction. How's that?
Yeah, I think the state and locals on the IT schedule is the fastest, on a percentage basis, is the fastest growing year on.
Yeah, I did hear with the unfortunate incidents around some of the cities lately and with the police and so forth, I did hear at the conference that the manager for the 84 schedule, which is law enforcement, is interfacing a lot with the police forces in various states about body cameras and outfits that are associated with that. And so they're looking for industry to, and this is a kind of a BD pitch for any listeners here, they're looking for opportunities for companies to come present that technology under the 84 schedule.
Right. Okay. How about this contract duplication? We heard a lot about that at the conference.
Well, in the panel I was on, we talked about contract duplication. And there's an irony here. We have number of contracts are going up and the market's going down. And so there's just like, how can you have a shrinking federal spend and an increase in number of contracts? It just sounds totally out of balance, and it is. So I think that's where, some of the things you've already asked me clearly have not taken hold yet. Ann Rung has is out there publicly speaking about the need to reduce contracts, and starts with her office and issuing revised policy on for agencies to come to her to set up their own GWAC. And so, because there's never been a rejection by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy on agencies setting up a GWAC, which is contract duplication.
Right, and to be fair, I don't know if they feel they have the authority to do that. We'll be interested to see when they're supposed to be revising the business case analysis requirements and process, and we'll be interested to see what that looks like. I know you've already touched on this, but any more thoughts? GSA Expo?
Necessary.
Okay, I like that one. Training?
Essential. Allie, use one word here.
Okay, I like that. So keep it short and sweet.
Training has ROI, and I think that's where a lot of people—
For the taxpayer, for the American people.
Yeah, and even for the agencies. I mean, it's throughout the whole process, Roger.
Right. GSA's role?
Opportunity to fulfill its mission.
Right. And you know what? On that note, Bill, we're going to end the show. I want to thank my guest today. My guest has been Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.